This is my sermon this morning. I'm going to share with you in the book of Luke. If you turn with me in the book of Luke. The title of my sermon is "Say No More Room." No more room. Probably sound familiar with you. No more room. What does it mean by no more room? Especially on this Christmas season. No more room. Do you have room in your home? You know, sometimes we say we don't have no room in the home. I remember when I was young, I go to school at USC. Five guys rent just one room, and five of them just leave. Just like sleeping back, just like sardine, you know. We go to school like that. And we have room. Don't think that we don't have room. I visit some poor country. They have plenty of room. And so what does it mean, make no more room? I thought about this example, just an illustration example. Imagine that I have a young African-American man just came to my door and knocked. He didn't look very presentable. So I asked, young man, what do you need? I said, well, I have a friend coming next week, and I need a room. Just stay for one night. Would you open your home just for my friend? Well, I don't know this guy, and I don't know his friend. Immediately, just you and I probably say, oh, no, I don't think I opened my home up for you. And he pleaded with me, you know, I have a very important friend. You know, I think you would like it. Could you please consider it? I say, no, I don't think I will accept a stranger in my home. Well, I saw him walk by to another home and knock on the door, and people would just say, no. I keep walking. I saw him knock on the door. And one family seemed like they nodded their head and seemed like it's okay. And I don't even think about it. As the day go by, and that particular day, that week that I requested, see if I can accept this guest, I did not. I said, well, just a guy, just a stranger. Suddenly I see police car in front of that home. They drive in, all the Mercedes coming in. What is this? And there step out President Obama. And I said, what? I could accept the President of the United States in my home, but I didn't. My friend, Jesus could come to our home and we might say we don't have room. Right? Let's read this text and let's analyze it. Let's look in the book of Luke, chapter 2, verse 4 through 7. And here is a setting where Caesar Augustus have a decree that make a census, require a census among the Jews. And this is what happened. And Joseph, verse 4, and Joseph also went up to Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. That means you got to go back where you were born to register. Verse 5, to be registered with Mary and his betrothed wife, who was with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. Again, a woman going to born a child here. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in the swaddling clothes and laid him in the manger, because there's no room for them in the inn. No more room. No more room. What does it mean by no more room? Doesn't this innkeeper know that that's what the Messiah they've been waiting? But he said no more room. So the three things I want to share with you here that we need to be focused before I'm talking about that, before I go in there, I want to share with you the traveling. How are they travel from Galilee to Judea? It's approximately 80 miles. Okay? And they can do pretty good for a 20-mile day. Take them 4 days to get to the town of David. But they cannot travel alone. You know, they cannot travel because it's very dangerous, especially at night. You see a lot of people rob out on the street. And they cannot go straight line. They cannot go straight because they have to go through Samaria. Samaria, right? How do you pronounce it? Samaria. And if they go there, get what happened? They will be either kidnapped or they steal things. And so the Jews and the Samaria are not our friend at all. So they have to go around. So even longer than 80 miles. And they have to go with a band of people, you know, a group of people go together. And so it's take for days. And so if Mary are pregnant and it's just about to deliver in a week, it must be hard. And so they must be travel very slow and take more than a week. When they get into the town of Bethlehem, they look for every single place that they can stay. Now, it's very interesting, it's very crowded. They come to the town and they couldn't find room. No more room. Three things I want to share with you. The first thing, the innkeeper, that's what we're focusing on, the innkeeper focused on the worldly things. The second point is the innkeeper did not waiting for the Messiah. Remember, the Jews have been waiting, but some people are not waiting for the Messiah. Number three, the innkeeper did not accept Jesus, did not welcome Jesus. Now, how do we get all about this? I want to share with you some point here. First point is the innkeeper focused on the worldly thing. Now, if Joseph and Mary come to the home, not look very wealthy, and she's pregnant, look like about to deliver, guess what? They probably won't accept them. It's too hard. Maybe disturb the other guests. Okay? What has happened if Mary would deliver that particular night or a few nights later? Guess what? It would disturb the whole inn. Okay? And also, the innkeeper probably want to have more money, want to charge more. I just imagine if we live here in Almonte, and if I'm the owner of down the street, the Motel 6. Okay, usually I charge, if I'm there, I probably charge only $39.99. But if President Obama come to Almonte, I'm going to boot up the price $200 a night. That's what the innkeeper would do. They boot up the price, find who the richest, pay the money, and we'll have a room. And so they don't have much money, they have nowhere to go, and the innkeeper say, well, you know, you can go on the back, that's where all the animals live, you can stay there. See, the innkeeper focus on the worldly things. Focus some things that benefit to him. Focus something that is worthwhile. Don't want to be troubled to pick up some poor people, some strangers, someone to come to ask. My friend, we're going to ask ourselves, are we anything like that innkeeper? Do we are so busy in our life that we have no room for God? Are we so busy in our life that we count our money, count our degree, count our possession, that we don't want to welcome the stranger? This innkeeper will focus on the worry thing. And you and I probably might be happen in this Christmas season. We're so busy buy present. We're so busy open a Christmas party. We're so busy to take people to our restaurant. But are we have time enough to open the gospel to share with them why is Christmas? Who is Jesus? Do we have time to share the gospel to them? Because this is a season that every heart will open for the gospel. My friend, I can see many parties going on, many programs going on, but here hardly ever crack the Bible to share about the gospel. And so what can we do? What can you and I do that decrease the worldly thing that we have? Decrease all the focusing that we have in this world, but focus on Jesus. You see, this innkeeper missed the boat because he were focused on worldly thing. He worked focused on make money. He focused on degree. He focused on something else beside Jesus. I don't want to be like that. I don't want a Jesus pass by. I don't know about it. How about you? The second point I want to share with you, the innkeeper did not waiting for the Messiah. Now, how in the world that I would say come up with that? Now, listen, the Jews, they go to synagogue every Sabbath. Am I right? They probably heard about the gospel. They probably heard about the prophecy. Matter of fact, Jesus stood up later on in life to talk about the prophecy. And people would say, forget about this prophecy. You see, he did not think about Messiah because for 600 years, people get mentioned about the Messiah will come, the Messiah will come, the Messiah will come, and did not come. And so they lose hope. And this innkeeper not even think about the Messiah anymore. Maybe throw that word out of the dictionary. Now I wonder, could we like this innkeeper that forgot about the Messiah? That we forgot about Jesus will come back again? Or so we so busy in our life, are we so busy that we don't think about Jesus will come back in our lifetime? Do we wake up in the morning, are we waiting for the Messiah? Are we waiting for Jesus? I'm afraid sometimes we don't wait for that. Maybe we go all the worldly things. We run after something else. Took a time away from our life. I remember the story when Solomon, turn with me in the book, 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 3. 1 Kings chapter 3. And when Solomon became the king, and the Lord asked, what would you like? What one gift do you like that I will give you? And this is what Solomon said, verse 9 of chapter 3, verse King. Therefore, give to your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. Solomon asked for wisdom. That's it. He didn't ask for wealthy. He didn't ask for lifelong. He didn't ask for anything. Only wisdom how to rule the country. And this is what the Lord come back in verse 13. And this Bible say, and I have also given you, the Lord say, I give you the wisdom. Before they say, I will give you wisdom. God say, I grant you wisdom, but I also given you what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall be anyone like you among the king all your days. That means God will not only grant him the wisdom, but he give everything. Remember the text in the Matthew chapter 6? Let's go to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 say, but first seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be what? Added to you. That means focus on Jesus. Focus on God. He will give us everything. We need to set up priority. And that's why all these things take us time away from us. The innkeeper did not wait for Messiah. He don't have time. He don't have time reading the Bible. He don't have time to pray. He don't have time to have family worship service. He don't have any time. And when you start to stop praying, stop reading the Bible, then you stop waiting for the Messiah. Stop waiting for the second coming. Now, people might say back then, say, you know what? I don't know when Jesus come. I'm waiting for 600 years. Nothing happened. And so prophecy to them, first time, maybe it's exciting. They look at all the fulfilling prophecy. But after that, they wax cold. Now, hear me now. That's what happened into our church, the end time. Sometimes some people know prophecy so much, and now we're so wax cold. You know what? All the prophecy again, you preach about 2,300-day prophecy. You're talking about the mark of the beast, all that. Come on, that's all gone. And people rejected all that. Maybe people don't even read the book Revelation anymore. And when we stop reading prophecy, Jesus will come surprised to us. You see, back then, this innkeeper maybe don't focus on prophecy anymore. You hear so many times. And sometimes the more we see it, hear it, we start to wax cold. But no, we need to turn around. We need to be excited. We need to share the gospel to the world. You see, if the Jews don't share, God will use a star to share to the wise men. God will proclaim his message at the end time. Call the rock to proclaim the God message. Call the people who sing to God and talk about prophecy, just like the shepherd on the hilltop. Hear the angels pronouncing that Jesus is coming. Jesus is here. Go to Bethlehem and worship him. Why does not the angel come to this innkeeper to share that person that you just reject, that's Jesus was born into your house? But why would Jesus send the angel to the shepherds? Why? What's the difference? Could it be the innkeeper count the money, don't have time to focus on the spiritual thing? Where the shepherd out in the field look at the star, praising God, reading prophecy Isaiah. Then God say, that's the people I will send my angel down. My friend, when we read the word of God, when we meditate on the word of God, Jesus will share with us his second coming. When we ignore the word of God, when we skip church, when we skip prayer, God cannot speak through us. God cannot come to us. You see the difference? That's where the two types of people. People are waiting for God, and people are ignoring God. So my friend, I don't want to be like that innkeeper 2,000 years ago. I want to praise God every day. I want to read the Bible. So when Jesus decided to come, he told me, today is the day that I will come to take you home. I want to hear that voice. I want to be ready. I don't want to be catched by surprise. Like the innkeeper. The third point I want to share with you. If the innkeeper did not accept Jesus, if the innkeeper knew Jesus, he probably accepted. If the innkeeper knew the Messiah come, he would accept it, right? But they don't know. We don't know. But we will know the sign. We will know the sign. And this is one of the hard texts I want to share with you. Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. I'm going to read it five texts here, starting verse 35. Matthew chapter 25, starting verse 35. And let me read verse 34 too. Then the king, this is talking about God, will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. God prepared a mansion for us. He's waiting for us. He's coming back soon. And this is what he said. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was stranger and you took me in. And I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? Verse 40, please underline this. And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. Do you get the point? Now, Jesus come to this world. It's not because he don't have a room. It's not because he don't have a mansion. He have plenty of room in heaven. He have so many servants. He have everything. But he come to down to this earth. He looked for people who will accept him. And he will come to a place. He ask, if there's any room for me? He asked different innkeepers, if there's any room for me. He asked each one of us in our heart, do we have any room for him? He has plenty of room. But he wanted to be with you. He wanted to come to sup with you. He knocked on the door of your heart, let me come in because I want to bring blessing to you. This innkeeper 2,000 years ago did not accept Jesus. Because he did not accept that stranger. If we do to the least among of our brethren, if we do to the strange out there, we have done to Jesus. My friend, this is what Jesus is calling. When is the last time that you have room for a stranger? When is the last time you feed to the homeless? When is the last time you help someone? Do you know when you do that, you do for Jesus? When you do that, you accept Jesus in your heart. That's what the Bible said. It sounds hard, right? One time I took someone to the airport, international flight in LAX. And I was in a hurry. I drop off, and I'm going to run off. But I saw two young kids, around 17, 18. And one, a girl and a guy from Hanoi, Vietnam. He walked back, and they walked back and forth, and they speak to the language I understand. And I go in the car, and I probably go home, and I say, you know, something strange. I want to go back and see those two young kids. And they're still walking, and they make a phone call. No one here in this country will accept them or know them. Because someone's supposed to come pick them up. They come here for go abroad to learn about America. And so I say, you know, where are you heading? Can I give you a ride? I say, I don't know where to head. I don't know where this place. I couldn't speak English. And so I say, well, maybe the Lord put in my mouth and say, why don't you come to my home for a weekend and maybe we find a place for you. So I bring them in and share with them, feed them, and start to create friendship. You see, there's more many incidents, but this incident I want to share with you because if we open our heart to the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit will tell us, take them in. They need you. That you can share my love to them. My friend, what can we do about this? The title of the sermon says no more room, but I want you to take home there's room for Jesus. That means for everyone who come in contact with us. Let's make an impact in our community, in our world, by accept Jesus, by taking stranger, by love the outcast, because that's Jesus calling us. If you treat those people, you have treated me. If you take them in, you have taken me in. And I would like every one of us to take Jesus in our heart, people in our heart, this Christmas. Because God will use each one of us to make a difference in other people's lives. Would you do that? Would you do something different from the innkeeper this Christmas? Make a difference. Have Jesus in our heart. Shall we pray? Dear Lord our God, even though those small, short three words say, no more room, help us to learn the lesson from this, that we change our focus on the spiritual thing than the worldly thing, that we change our focus, the looking forward for Jesus coming, than wax cold just like other worldly people. And also, Lord, that we can accept strangers, the people we meet every day, that we come to contact, because when we do anything for them, treat them and love them, we have done for you. Help us make a difference in this world. Please use each one of us to shine your light on this Christmas season. We pray all this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.